I think we'll probably have Director Burton maybe give a brief rebuttal. And I do need to say brief, we've got maybe 5 or 10 minutes and we do need to wrap up our meeting today. I know Gary had a quick comment. Anybody else have a very quick comment?
Yeah, I just want to address this to the director. I'd just like to direct it to you. And thank you for attending. What you just saw was a presentation developed by the local community. Okay, it had some research in there, some real facts, comparison with the Sunnyvale Costco. This is real data. It's not people just waving their arms around, don't want a project there. They want something that's sound and reasonable, okay? We did the same thing with El Paseo. Had a comparable person do that for El Paseo with facts, with figures that made sense, okay? Once again, sound input, totally ignored. Okay, what does it take for the city, for the planning department, to listen to the community?
In 5 minutes or less.
In 5 minutes or less. I'm not going to offer a rebuttal, because I think that's the wrong word, right? I mean, you're absolutely right, right? This is, you know, a lot of tremendous and detailed information. And certainly we, you know, appreciate the kind of focus and the attention of the community. It's actually helpful to us as we do our job. I know at times it seems like it's falling on deaf ears. You know, I want to try and assure you that it's not, that it's absolutely a part of our process and that we do take that into consideration. I think part of the challenge, and I'm not trying to offer excuses in any way, shape, or form, but, you know, part of the challenge is just the context and legal framework with which we can work, given the Muni Code, given state law, given, you know, all the requirements of how cities operate in the context of land use. You know, and we often look at projects at a very sort of individual scale, but we write our plans and our policies and our municipal code at a citywide level. And there's always a conflict, and we're always trying to sort of balance that difference. So there's a number of different things in there. I think, you know, it's important to address. Certainly, the way that we communicate back and forth on projects is challenging, right? And again, just to give you a sense of scale, from planning projects, we do roughly 2,800 planning projects a year. We do over 35,000 business building permits a year. I mean, just in volume, there's another 3,800 code cases every year. You know, and so just the volume of communication back and forth sometimes represents challenges, and we do not have an efficient system right now where you can just simply sign up and get those updates. It's something that we have been working on, and we are making improvements to the technology to hopefully get closer to that. But unfortunately, you know, at times it does just require assistance and engagement from the community, and sort of knowing who to ask, when to ask, how to ask, and certainly, you know, as we become aware of more significant community interests, we try and take a much more proactive approach in sharing that information. I think this is certainly helpful for me to understand and hear, so I can take that feedback back and kind of help the team really rethink how we're doing community engagement, and listening to that conversation. On as far as the sort of the process, I understand, you know, we sort of talk about that CEQA process in a number of different ways, and certainly, you know, it's often talked about as a leverage point, because it often is a leverage point with developers, and that's why I think you hear the words relative to, you know, well, wait for the reports, wait for the study, wait for the CEQA process. It's often in that context, but it's not to say that it locks the project in. It locks in a baseline for the analysis. And there's opportunities for that to change and be revised. That's the whole purpose of having an admin draft and going back and revising it. That's why our team is heavily engaged in reviewing that information and sort of going through the back and forth and then updating it as the project changes. You know, it's just that our CEQA process is often the time limit, the rate limiting step for all development. Just given the sort of statutory nature of the timelines involved, given the volume and the level of information and detail that's required, it just, they take a long time, and so that's why we tend to sort of get that underway. But it's certainly not when that admin draft comes out that's the project logged in. That there's a lot more to the back and forth there. And I think, you know, with this project, that's where we are. I think, you know, it's just a really interesting comment about the sort of visibility and the communication with the applicant. You know, we are the stewards of the process, right? So, and ultimately what City Council will receive is a very detailed report from city staff with a recommendation that says one thing or another. So, you know, we're gonna continue to work with the applicant to help continue evolve this project into ways that benefit the community and get us to a better point where we're sort of, you know, we're in a more of a middle ground. You know, it's not just all on you or the council member sort of beating on the applicant and telling them you've got to change this project or else, right? It's on us to really take that information and continue to work that process so we come to a sort of more mutually agreeable sort of outcome on this process. So I think that's how we sort of focus on it. You know, we definitely want to be a good partner, right? It's very much sort of bringing the stakeholders together to sort of to work towards a better outcome.
I see there's a few questions. Maybe we can take like two questions and then we're gonna have to wrap up for today. So I see Betty had one here.
Betty Cabana from the Eden Neighborhood Association. When I'm listening here today, it sounds as though the Costco is going in. And what I heard earlier were comments about maybe there's not a Costco at all. So is there a chance that there's not going to be a Costco, or are we going to have it and we have to figure out how to deal with it?
So as far as our ability to say, no, you can't build Costco here, we don't have that ability, right? So the site is zoned to allow retail uses and we define it as a retail use. There are things that we can that we have discretion over, things like late night uses, you know, certain aspects of how they build out the site and the construction, but the way we currently define the use is retail, and retail is an appropriate use on the site. So without making sort of bigger, you know, land use changes that you know, potentially this is already locked in as a result of other laws. So yeah, so it's... So if Costco could fit within the existing building today, we wouldn't have a planning process. They would literally move in today, yeah.
So I just wanna point something out. Over on the Stevens Creek, Winchester, the urban village, there was a drive-through In-N-Out that wanted to come through. Because there's an urban village and there are requirements of what is an urban village, that was the drive-through was not permissible. The applicants went on their way. They met with the neighborhood. The neighborhood did not want to have all of the, you know, the traffic as well as the fumes and all of that. And because we had an urban village, it moved on. We don't have an urban village in this area. And so the way it's designated in a general plan is such that it is commercial. So there are limitations. But I want you to know that it is not an approved project. It is not an approved project. They're going through the process. I think Mark's information is very good in terms of, you know, where it is. And I would sort of continue to use Mark's information for anyone who wants to have the most updated information. He's very good about that. And we are in communication.
All right, we probably do need to wrap up here. So, Chris, I'll give you a break, let you off the hot seat here.
So, and I will just sort of finish by saying that, you know, I really appreciate the opportunity to come out and sort of hear it firsthand. Obviously, you know, we cover a lot throughout the entire department, so there's a lot of information coming at me on lots of different projects. For me, as I sort of come away from this meeting, it's taking it back and sort of informing. So my deputy director for planning, development, and review is Robert Manford, and then our team, John Tu, Alec Matienza, who's the project manager for this project. Just re-engaging and making sure that they're hearing what I'm hearing, and I can help sort of give direction around how we're thinking about and kind of processing this project. So I really appreciate the opportunity to hear. Yeah, and I will, and I actually am a huge believer. So I'll take one more minute. So I joined the city, just to give you the background, I joined the city in 2006. I was an entry-level planner. I walked in the door. I did projects, not like this, I did industrial projects in North San Jose. And one of my first supervisors in the city, his thing was, you can't plan on paper, right? You have to get out there. And so every week we would go for every new project that came in the door, and we'd go see it, we'd drive it, we'd walk it, we'd look at what the actual impact is. So I'm a huge believer. And so I actually was planning to do that already. And that was one of my big takeaways that I took notes on. It's something. So I left the department in 2008. I came back about a year and a half ago. So I'm doing a lot of things right now that are about how we work and how we engage with the community and how we sort of undertake. And one of my big things is our folks have to get out the building a little bit more. So yeah, absolutely.
And you have to see what's coming.
Yep.
So we have a final comment here, and we'll wrap up.
Okay. My final comment is, my name is Connie Tietze. I'm from the Country Lane neighborhood. I had the opportunity to be at a meeting on February 8th with Rosemary, Council Member Vice Mayor Kamei, and her staff, David Gomez and JR, I think it's Fruin. And at that meeting, JR asked the question of whether or not there was anything that could be done, you know, if we thought that there were sufficient mitigations for this project, or was his takeaway that this was an inappropriate project? And the answer resoundingly in the room was, this is an inappropriate project for this site. We are not anti-Costco. There's a lot of Costco members. But there are two within 6 miles away. There are two within 15 minutes away. So all the things, resoundingly, our position is it's inappropriate. It doesn't work at this site. There's so many issues, whether it's safety of our children, traffic. So when we talk about what we need from Costco is, if the train is rolling, if we truly cannot stop this inappropriate project, then these are the minimums. These are the minimum baselines of closing off graves, of having a wall. The mitigations that Mark talked about, those are minimum. Sorry. And the reality is that you talk about, it's almost as if the applicant is driving what they're going to negotiate about. So this is why the information aspect is key for it to be timely, because we don't have a level playing field here. And so in order to level the playing field and not having the applicant being, they're the ones that are going to benefit from this. We have a multi-billion dollar out-of-state corporation who at the first community meeting said, why did we pick this site? We picked this site to take pressure off our existing sites. And they're doing it to drive membership. And they're taking pressure off of their sites by putting pressure on our community and our, you know, the safety of our children and their, you know, the quality of our life. And so just remember, these are just a minimums, and help us level the playing field for these negotiations. Thank you very much.
One quick addition on that, and I'm total agreement. Obviously, that's my wife, and I want to sleep in the house tonight. One question I never got answered, and I did it on one of the Zoom meetings. Okay, we're going to solve some problems. Worst case scenario, worst case for our community, Costco goes in there. So the wall takes care of a lot of these issues, just like Alma did, and especially the medical center, all these things. But once again, why I wanted somebody to come out, look at this and see what this is going to do. But the one other thing, okay, our neighbors are concerned about it. It was brought up, the height of the building, and on top of that, the lighting, which those have gotten reduced. It was asked that they be reduced because it's going to be so intense. Why is underground parking not considered? If you've got things that do not cost the city $1, these are going to be on Costco. Build that wall. that takes care of this whole issue. You know, why can they not put underground parking there and solve that whole issue? You take it's not now you don't have twice the height practically, and so you eliminate that. They still have to have their, you know, if the city has to have this there, which we don't want, but why is that not something that they couldn't do?
So is your question, why is it something they couldn't do, or why is it something we couldn't require it? Because those are two different things. Yeah. Right. And so, you know, we would have, currently we don't have a requirement on, a requirement that gives us the ability to dictate that level of design control, like that you have to, right? I mean, so that would require us doing a whole set of work and city council passing an ordinance that requires projects of a certain criteria to meet that requirement.
So we are going to have to wrap up. Yeah, thanks everybody for showing up. We're going to skip the neighborhood roundtable. Thank you, Chris. We're going to skip the roundtable and we're going to adjourn the meeting at this point. Thank you everybody for showing up, and you hopefully can get home before the rain starts.